Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online. Just head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features share with you over there. They're free. A lot of talk shows want to charge you for their websites. Ours is free. Lots of stuff there, including archives of the show that go back for many years. We've got live streaming video. We've got our own chat server. We've got our own social media server. So check all that out at freetalklive.com. Here tonight, it's Ian.
Matt.
And Jay.
So, Matt, you've been pretty disconnected from the news recently. But one of the big stories in the last, 2 days has apparently been that somebody has leaked a bunch of allegedly secret documents from the Pentagon.
Oh.
And apparently they released them on a Discord server, which is like a, for listeners that aren't familiar, Discord is like a place where gamers primarily, I mean, there's other people that use Discord, but it's like a chat server with the ability to do like a live audio component. So, you know, if you're playing your, you know, live first-person shooter game or whatever kind of game you're playing with other people, you can S-talk people basically directly. That was kind of the original purpose behind them. Since that time, like, we used to have a Discord server until they shut us down, and a lot of crypto people have Discord servers to talk about their topics. So anyway, it's just a place where people chat. It's basically what it is. And somebody on one of these Discord servers has released documents that have now gotten him, the alleged person who released this, arrested. And he's likely going to be facing multiple charges in Boston federal court. But according to Al Jazeera here, they've got a rundown of what was in the series of leaked documents that purported to contain highly classified Pentagon intelligence related to the war in Ukraine. The Pentagon has confirmed that the military documents appear to contain sensitive and highly classified information. They've also now come out and said, well, they may not be authentic. And some of the things may be true, but some of the things aren't true in there.
So the reason I'm always hesitant to even look at stuff like this is because this type of thing could easily just be a dog and pony show.
Mm-hmm.
Not real at all. Nothing. Like, the papers probably don't even exist. The guy who got arrested might not even be real. Like, none of this has to be real. All of it can be absolute for show to drum up support or remind the American people of the war in Ukraine. Oh, you know, they're still thinking about it at the Pentagon, so I should think about it too. You know, these things should just be... anything the government has to do with anything should be cast aside.
Sure. Well, one thing you know is true about wartime is both sides are going to lie, right?
100%.
Like, that's just a guarantee. You have no idea what's actually going on. The only way you could have some semblance of knowledge to know what's happening is to actually be in the war zone. And even then, you still don't really know what's happening outside your immediate sphere of influence and people that you trust.
Unless you live in the war zone.
Right.
You're probably a moron for being there in the first place.
or a victim.
or you can't get out. Like, if you're a man in Ukraine and you want to leave, good luck.
Right.
Or if you were, you know, a goat farmer in Afghanistan, you know, and all of a sudden all these military guys show up and demand you start growing heroin on your, you know.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
property.
If you're in the middle of it, there's not.
Where do you go?
Those are the true victims. But the people who actually show up to those parties.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Well, they're usually the lowest common denominator.
100%.
Go to jail or go into military.
Yeah,
which,
then they come home and they get jobs as cops.
Yeah, or bureaucrats.
Or bureaucrats.
So one of the takeaways here, Al Jazeera's kind of like got a rundown of some of the alleged information. And according to one of the leaked classified U.S. military documents, said that 97 special forces personnel from NATO countries were active in Ukraine during February and March of this year, which is, of course, not supposed to be happening, right? Like, this is NATO is funding the war, but they're not supposed to have troops on the ground in Ukraine.
97, though?
Yeah, it's obviously not a lot, but it's something. And apparently more than half of the Western Special Forces are from the United Kingdom. I saw a breakdown of the numbers somewhere. And, you know, who knows what they're doing? Maybe they're just training the Ukrainians. Maybe they're running, you know, attacks on the Russians. And that much is not.
It could just be CIA and, you know, whatever the British version of the CIA is, MI5, MI6.
It could be.
They're expending a lot of very, very expensive munitions. They're laundering money.
Yep.
They're protecting pedophiles. They're protecting, you know, human traffickers. They're protecting drug lords, warlords. You know, this is just typical things that government does.
Yep. And those governments have always loved to get involved with actual human trafficking. And, you know, back, what was it? I can't remember, early 2000s, whatever conflict was going on in Eastern Europe. DynCorp. DynCorp is one of those government, you know, contractors that mercs go work for. They got, you know, Blackwater. Remember Blackwater? Yep. Like DynCorp, Blackwater. They get busted, like, kidnapping kids and
Halliburton
selling them.
Halliburton was a very big. Actually, there's a thing years ago. There was something in Congress to make it illegal for any American company to do business with any company that engages in child trafficking, and it was Halliburton that put the kibosh on that.
Shocker.
Yeah, you know, that was, you know, probably 15 years ago or something.
Dick Cheney's company, right?
Yep. Yeah, and they're big oil exploration. But they're military contractors. Even one of the things that was a joke about Halliburton, a friend of mine was in the National Guard, and she did a lot of time over in Iraq. And she ended up dating one of these guys that was a lifeguard, and he worked for Halliburton. He made like $250K a year as a lifeguard, just sitting there at a military base.
At a
pool. And then, but Halliburton got like $25,000 per meal. That was served for like lunch or dinner or breakfast because Halliburton did all the like cafe. And it's the same thing with the hospitals. You know, here on the States, the prisons, the schools, all these contractors get these, you know, glorified, like way overpaid prices for all the products that are, and like a lot, like the hospitals, for example, there's so much stuff in the hospital. The hospital is charged like 10x what it would be just on a common marketplace. Even when I was on a fire department, there was things that, you know, if it wasn't like National Fire Protection, blah, 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 certified or approved, that you could buy the piece of the fire truck or the fire hose for like a fraction of the cost. But the same exact thing that rolled off the same assembly line, had all the same parts put in it, that was NFPA, was just extreme amount of money. Like Milton Bradley has their own fire department, Hasbro Milton Bradley. They got a big manufacturing in East Longmeadow, Massachusetts. Mm. And they bought like the same exact fire truck in like, I don't know, 2003 or something that our fire department bought. Mm. And we had a combined training on a truck. We all went down to Milton Bradley, a bunch of guys in the fire department. Mm. And, we did 2 different days of training, but they had their own private fire department. And I got to talking to one of the guys. And they're like, oh, what do you mean that truck's $300,000? And they're like, we paid, you know, $163 or something. It was like, we're like, all the guys in the fire department were like, what are you talking about? It cost half. So the guy who's training us, who drove the fire truck out there from the company, he's like, oh yeah, municipalities always pay, you know, a whole lot more.
Damn.
Because they have to have all these so-called certifications to where the private corporation is just like, you know, send me this truck that pumps water.
Right, you know? Which is a rocket science.
That's crazy.
Talk about overspending. I was offered a job in Kandahar in 2003 or four.
Private contractor job?
Private contractor with Kellogg Brown and Root.
Yep.
It's a major, it's like another Halliburton.
Yeah, they build houses, do oil, and war.
Yeah, and this was food.
Yep.
Like slinging, you know,
running a kitchen,
mess hall stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For a military base?
Yeah.
What were they offering to pay you?
It was $130,000 for 4 months.
Wow. $130,000
for 4 months. And if you were willing to stay a year, that price went up drastically.
Damn.
So that's 2004. That was a lot of money.
You turned it down.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. I wouldn't go over there. They wouldn't let me carry an AK. I mm-hmm. said if I go over there, I get to have an AK.
And they said no.
They said no.
Got to rely on the military to keep you safe.
Yeah, pass.
Yeah, and my special forces friend Silver Dave said that, like, on a military base, like, all these guys would be, you know, American military guys in Afghanistan. I forget what military base, but they would be walking around with their military issue AR-15 or whatever, and if you look at like a lot of the pictures, a lot of the guys that were carried AR-15 around had no magazine in them.
They weren't allowed
to have live ammunition because they're all idiots. But, you know, as far as Silver Dave's concerned, you know, these guys were like, you know, they just
can't trust them.
Well, no, they just like, you just really can't train idiots how to like have good muzzle discipline and trigger discipline is basically the bottom line. And we know some of those guys that are like that.
Definitely.
You know?
I was going to say I've known lots of those. I used to go to my shooting range every Tuesday night, like clockwork. And one time at some point, these cops started showing up, like off duty cops. Mm-hmm. And they were there. And I think they'd been drinking and stuff. And they were there to shoot.
Great.
And they were just like muzzle flagging me left and right. Whoa. And I know I'm like 8 bays away, but, you know, there's still, you know, it's like, hey, you want to watch? Sorry, man. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Rod. You know,
there's a magical thing that police have. And it leads to, you know, irresponsibility. It's called
qualified immunity.
Yeah,
I don't know if they would have them if they were off duty.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, they'll make stuff work.
But they're just so used to getting away with whatever.
Sure.
And they have getting away with it for generations.
I just stopped going on Tuesdays. I just didn't go there anymore because I know they're going to be there. They're going to be absolute morons because they are. They're not going to be morons. They are morons. There's no chance that they're not going to be morons when I'm there.
And drunk.
And
they're drinking. Yeah.
We have evidence of this that, for example, down in Connecticut, there was these two guys that were buddies, and they went to police academy together. They went to, you know, criminal justice college, and Ernie Hancock tells the story really well. But what happened is the two guys, they apply for the Connecticut State Police, and the one guy who's like kind of the dumber of the two gets a job, and the other guy gets rejected. So he's, what do you mean you get rejected? And basically what they told him is his IQ was too high, and he actually sued the Connecticut State Police over this. And, you know, this is probably
I thought that was New London.
No.
Well,
no, New London was a different thing. New London was a
domain. But I think it was also New London where maybe it's state police as well, but there was some policing organization in Connecticut that was exactly what you're talking about.
I know the same story, but I know it about Georgia.
It's probably true in a lot of places.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. But it's some
like you couldn't be more than 120 IQ or something like that.
Right, his IQ was too high.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he was a state trooper, but he ended up suing the state of Connecticut because this was like a state policy.
Did he lose?
Yeah, I believe he did, actually.
The one in Georgia lost.
Yeah, I believe he did.
Because he was trying to become a state trooper, and he smoked all the exams, obviously. He just chewed them up, spit them out, and they refused to hire him on the basis that his IQ was too high. He was too smart.
And the thing is, you know, smart people are going to, like, you know, probably understand right from wrong, you know, and you start getting people too smart, and smart people start asking questions and challenging things. And
yeah, morons are just, you know, they want automatons.
Yep.
And that's what they gun for.
Yep.
You know, they want automatons that are good at team sports.
Order takers.
Yep.
And now we got a whole army of algorithmic slaves. You know, kids that, you know, are old enough to vote, old enough to be cops, that have been looking at internet devices ever since they were born, and their brains literally got rewired, and that's going to be a massive issue coming up here. We're already starting to see it, just with the, you know, algorithmic slaves that we got going on.
The story is from New London. Robert Jordan, who was a 49-year-old college graduate, scored a 33 on an intelligence test. Now, that's not IQ. It's just whatever test they're issuing their candidates, that he took as part of the application process to become a police officer in New London, Connecticut. That meant that Jordan had an IQ of 125. However, the average score for police officers was 21 to 22, or effectively an IQ of 104. New London would only interview candidates who scored between 20 and 27. So Jordan sued the city, alleging discrimination, but the Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New York upheld that it was not discrimination because New London Police Department applied the same standard to everyone who applied to be a cop there. So they weren't discriminating against him specifically. they're discriminating against anyone over the IQ of whatever 27.
So what the court's saying is there should be a class action lawsuit.
I guess so, but there isn't.
How many people will be in the class is the question.
Yeah, good. Right. ABC News reported back then that, quote, those who score too high could get bored with police work, is the supposed claim, and leave soon after undergoing costly training. But the reality is what you said, Jay. It's like they don't want thinkers.
They want idiots.
Yeah. They want order followers, people who are not independently minded. And dude apparently went on to just become a corrections officer after that.
Wow. What? You know, I know a guy, he comes from a family full of, well, the whole family, actually. They're all, like, super, super intelligent, all Mensa to the moon. Their mother was a special ed teacher, and she's just absolute rocket scientist as well. And they could all do whatever they wanted to. One of the kids actually grew up to work at NASA, and I think he worked there like 10 years, but he ended up leaving and becoming like a preschool teacher or something. Didn't make any sense. And the rest of them work at gas stations selling lotto tickets and stuff.
Wow.
And it's like, what's wrong with these?
Wasted.
People? Wasted. It's like they're aggressively wasting their abilities, you know. I don't know why they do that.
I know a couple of guys. Like, I know one guy, he's an electrical engineer, and you know, he could be making, you know, easy $250,000-$300,000 a year, like working in a power plant or something, or, you know, he's very valuable, but he's just like, I'm not working in a parasite economy. You know, he's actually a free stater. He's here. And he's, you know, and he works for silver. You know, he's like, I'll work for, an ounce of silver per hour.
That's great.
Has been his rate.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's a super smart dude. He could, but like in a corporate world, he could kill it. And he hates that whole all that stuff.
He's probably been there before.
That's where he was going. You know, he went to engineering school and
got close enough to know that it wasn't for him.
Basically, just started like talking to people that like these, where all the big corporations, you know, have like these expos where they try to get new
headhunters
and job fairs, and then talking to some, you know, college or university alumni about stuff, and they're like, and the guys are like, oh yeah, they're just going to get you hooked to the dollar, and they will work you, so you will do nothing but work for them, and they will pay you tons of money, but that's all you're going to do, and you know, he's going to have a hard time finding a wife that you know with a, you know. When you work 80 hours a week and, you know, raise a family and stuff like that. So, yeah, you just walked away from it.
So we're going to put a little bit more information about these military leaks, according to Al Jazeera. I'm not going to go through the whole story, but one other takeaway is they show, if proven authentic, which is going to be hard to do because the military has no reason to admit this, but they show that the U.S. had been monitoring Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky's phone calls with defense and military officials. They also reveal apparent weaknesses in the Ukrainian air defense systems and the size of military battalions. And then the New York Post has an update that they have arrested 21-year-old Jack Teixeira, who is a Air National Guardsman, for being the alleged leaker, according to... Go ahead.
Couple of things. First off, everybody's phone calls are monitored. Zelensky should know this.
Mm-hmm.
There's no getting around it. Everybody's phone calls are monitored. And this 21-year-old guy, this seems like one of these cases where, like, you could dump some internet files and just frame anybody.
Right.
Just figure out what their MAC address is on their computer or what their router, you know, thing. And it's just so easy to just make it look like somebody. Same thing with child porn.
They picked
porn.
A kid and they said, this is our guy. Because how did an Air National Guardsman who's 21 years old get a hold of classified Pentagon files in the first place? I mean, I don't think
they're alleged. By accident.
Well, but, you know, who knows?
Or set up.
But I think what they're saying is he didn't come across them by part of his job, right? Like, he's in the Air National Guard, and yet he's got sensitive Pentagon information.
That's pretty iffy, right?
Yeah. So they arrested him at his mother's house on Thursday after being implicated in the disclosure of dozens of sensitive U.S. intelligence documents to an online community devoted to video games and guns, which is being described as the biggest national security breach in at least a decade. Law enforcement officers swarmed the home in North Dighton, Massachusetts, about 20 miles east of Providence, Rhode Island, hours after multiple reports sketched out Teixeira's key role in a Discord channel called Thug Shaker Central, where the files first popped up earlier this year. News helicopter footage showed Teixeira clad in red basketball shorts and a gray T-shirt surrendering to camo-clad FBI agents. Even brought out the Bearcat, to take this kid down.
Of course.
According to the video and the images that have come out, he will be facing likely charges connected to, quote, unauthorized removal, retention, and transmission of classified national defense.
Yeah, just pick any old poor schmuck who can't afford, you know, stay away from the military. Don't join those idiots. Don't go anywhere near that.
You might be the next patsy.
You might be. They'll do whatever they want to you. The treatment of military people in this, it's probably all countries. I mean, they've always been pawns of a king. Always. Like, go back to the Greeks. You know, the king of Greece or whatever they had is definitely going to have his way with somebody below him, just if it's politically convenient to do so, or, you know, if it's expedient for some goal of theirs, they're going to sack one, you know, just sacrifice a pawn. Have no problem doing that. Why would you ever, ever go near such people?
Because you're brainwashed to worship them, because it all is cult mentality. You're doing what you're instructed to do.
You know, it's worth being poor. Go live in a car, starve to death. It's way better than doing, you know, it's way better than the 20 grand a year
starve to death, you know, in a Camaro. States.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't think anybody would ever starve to death that has any work ethic whatsoever and isn't totally mentally ill. Because I know plenty of people who got poor work ethic that work just enough to make money and take care of themselves. I know plenty of people who would be considered mentally ill who work and make money and take care of themselves. So, like, you know.
Apparently, he did have some sort of role due to a responsibility for ensuring network protection. So he may have had some kind of a systems analyst job in the Air Force or the Air National Guard. But they say here an anonymous defense official said he would have had a higher level of security clearance, but still, questions are to be asked about how such a young service member, not even an intelligence analyst, could have had access to that sensitive information. According to the story here, he was in this Thug Shaker Central Discord channel, which the Washington Post reported was populated by about 24 hardcore fans of a YouTube content creator known as Oxide, who's an Army soldier who reportedly started making videos of game clips as a teenager before transitioning to reviews and showcases of weapons, ammo, and body armor, including, told the Washington Post he banned several users from his main Discord, including the denizens of Thug Shaker Central, more than a year ago for annoying habits, including posting racist comments, as well as a meme video taken from a gay porn film that gave the Splinter Group its name. So, I mean, it just sounds like your typical, you know, video game dorks on the internet here, but one of them is now in custody and facing charges.
I like that the thugs have gotten so shaken they had to bring out their tanks to this residential neighborhood and raid this guy. So if this guy did actually steal some documents or did actually leak some, that's some great thug shaking on his
All right, we got more coming up here. You can join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up, the San Francisco Whole Foods is closing down just 1 year after opening. Why? Well, if you've seen any of the news coming out of San Francisco about the retail thefts going on, you might have some clue. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
You USA News Update. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland says a man accused of leaking classified Pentagon documents has been arrested. 21-year-old Jack Teixeira was taken into custody. Teixeira is a member of the intelligence wing of the Massachusetts Air National Guard. Former Vice President Mike Pence says this leak should have opened some eyes at the Defense Department.
There needs to be a full-scale review of who has access to this type of classified information and how it's being handled.
A new report claims Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas failed to disclose a real estate deal he made with wealthy Republican donor Texas billionaire Harlan Crow. Thomas reportedly never disclosed the sale. Some experts say that's a possible violation of federal law. Fort Lauderdale Airport will be closed until Friday morning after a flash flood emergency. 26 inches of rain fell within 24 hours. Dave Collins, USA News.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at AAN.com/concussion. That's AAN.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. You can bring up anything you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up, Whole Foods Market closing down. One of the largest supermarkets in downtown San Francisco because of safety issues. Of course, it's the same place where the Cash App founder just got murdered.
Oh, I heard about that.
Recently in San Francisco. We can talk about that. Plus, Walmart closing down their Chicago superstore as well. But let's go to your phone calls and thoughts. It's Ian, Matt, and Jay in the studio here tonight. David is on the line in Georgia. David, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. This leaker, the supposed Discord leaker from these documents or whatever.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, if he did do it, praise him. Good. Because the government doesn't need secrets from the people. I'm sorry, but that's how you get tyrants.
Sure. I don't know if it was really that worth it. I mean, because apparently, like, some of the, like, the troop locations, allegedly, right, that they had, these are already out of date. You know, troops move.
Yeah.
So something that came out 2 weeks ago or whenever it was when it was dated for early March or
and Russians
like that.
Have satellites that can image the Earth in the moment. They can tell where people are.
Yeah. So, like, well, you know, I guess the biggest takeaway that I saw was the allegation that there were actually NATO troops in Ukraine. I don't think anybody's potentially too surprised to discover that. But that was probably one of the bigger points.
Well, we all knew that was going to happen, I think. I mean, yeah. Anybody paying attention. And, you know, this, and two, so they're going to be taking from this, I would imagine, like, oh, if any of this had, like, any of the money laundering. Now, I did hear something, I don't know if it applies to this, that, like, they were basically saying that they killed, like, 200,000 Russian soldiers, but through this leak, there's, like, very few Russian soldiers were killed. They've kind of lied about a lot of the numbers.
I've heard that's it was 7-1. I heard there's 7 Ukrainians killed for every 1 Russian soldier killed. But who knows what the truth is?
Well, you have a trained military going up against idiots or gathering on the side of the road with their guns and standing around.
Russia is also conscripting as well.
So, oh, are they?
You got kind of a messed up situation on both sides.
Why would that doesn't make any sense to me? Why would they conscript?
They've been doing it. They've been conscripting people.
What do you mean by conscripting?
Forcing people into military service.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But so is Ukraine. So, you know, same things. At least that's my understanding. That's why they're not letting males leave Ukraine. You can't leave if you're like under the age of 60.
My God.
Yeah, they're not going to let you out because they might need you to tote a gun for the government. Essentially.
Yeah, if I was told that I couldn't leave, I would be gone.
Later. Sure. I imagine the border is fairly porous for those that are willing to make a run for it. But I don't know. It'd be interesting to hear stories about people who've successfully gotten out of there. So, David, this guy, who knows what the punishment's going to be for this, but I suspect he's going to be facing multiple felony counts. I mean, he may spend a good portion of his adult life in prison over this. And really, I mean, did we really get anything that was that useful out of it? I mean, this isn't Edward Snowden-level leaking here. This is just some kid who thought he was going to be cool to his buddies on a Discord server.
Allegedly.
Right, allegedly.
Yeah, and if he really did do this, the one mistake he made was not going to Russia first.
Well, yeah. Also, he's in the military, so he's probably not, particularly wealthy to be able to easily travel to Russia. Another mistake he made was using Discord, which, of course, is a centralized system that is run by a corporation.
Yeah, that wasn't very smart.
And they have IP address logs. They have logs of all of your activities there. Even, quote-unquote, private messages are obviously not private. If you're running the Discord company, they can go in there and they can provide that information to any law enforcement that gives them a subpoena. So I suspect that's what happened here was they got a warrant and Discord turned over all the data about whoever the hell it was that posted this information on their server and all the logs.
Yeah, it's almost like
and
just...
boom, they show up with guns.
Yep, and the Bearcat.
There's got to be an anonymous way to do this. I don't really know off the top of my head. But
yeah,
like,
just contact WikiLeaks. What's that?
Called Tor.
Sure, Tor, the Onion Router, that is one way that you can anonymize yourself online, although it's obviously not perfect because they are able to go after darknet market websites over time. So somehow they are able to de-anonymize some things on Tor, and it's never really been revealed how they're able to do that, but they do have that ability.
Over time, it becomes a lot easier because over time, mistakes pile up. You give a little thing here and a little thing there and a little thing in this other place. And over
and
time, those little tiny mistakes add up.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's just like a one-and-done type deal, the likelihood of getting found by using Tor is not particularly high.
I think what you would want to do is reach out to WikiLeaks, which is like the prime place where people give information of value to, right? Like leaked information, Chelsea Manning. There's been so many different people that have done this, and they have ways, right? Like they have tried and true methods, and I suspect Tor is one of them. They probably have a Tor website or some sort of submission system where you can submit content to WikiLeaks, and you know that it's going to them. So they're they're a trusted party on the other end, not just some schmoes on a Discord server, which could be infiltrated by anybody. So, then you know who the receiving party is, and you know you're at least sending it through some sort of an anonymized system. That would seem to be the safest way to do it. Then WikiLeaks can just do their thing. and post whatever they think's the most damning information or the full files or whatever to their pages and such. So, and then, you know, WikiLeaks would be protected, at least to some extent. Obviously, it didn't protect Julian Assange, but they always go after the face, right? Like, they always go after whoever it is that is the head or the perceived head of an organization like that. But WikiLeaks has more than just Julian Assange. They've got a staff, I presume mostly anonymous staff at this point. It's highly risky to de-anonymize yourself if you're working in the area of WikiLeaks. So, good advice there, David. Anything else you want to share?
Nope, that's it.
All right, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. So, Jay, you say you haven't seen any of the insanity coming out of San Francisco.
Not really. I've just been hearing about it because I just don't really watch any videos. But I've been hearing about, like, Oregon has closed down. Like, some coffee shops have closed down. The one coffee shop they were talking about, I believe, was Portland. Yeah, Portland, Oregon. And like they're like, oh, we even did de-escalation training for our employees, and we gave them hazard pay, but we just can't get anyone to come into the coffee shop anymore, so
wow.
We have to close it down because it's just basically just straight up violence. It's all these leftist cities with these, you know, leftist politicians is basically where all the violence is happening.
Yep, and everywhere. A ton of junkies on welfare.
Yep, junkies on welfare. They're prosecuting crimes like
well, they're not. That's the thing.
Well, they're prosecuting right wing crimes. They're prosecuting, like, there's a guy in Houston, Texas. He got convicted of murder. He's an Uber driver. I can't remember all the things about it, but or Austin, Texas, one of those Texas cities,
mm-hmm.
And he was an Uber driver, and because he said on some social media post, I'm going to have to, you know, I might have to kill someone driving Uber because the people are getting so bad. And he got into some kind of Antifa thing where a guy basically walks up to him with an AR-15 low ready, and they're like hitting his car and stuff. And this Uber driver pulls out a revolver and shoots him, and he got convicted of murder. And I guess the governor said that the governor's going to pardon him as soon as the governor's able to.
Heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but and this is going, and so they're not. They're not going after people in any of these cities for actual crimes, but they're definitely going after, well, they're going after my wife for childhood endangerment, for mm-hmm. leaving my daughter securely, safely in a car for about 15 minutes. And she's being charged with class, like, I can't remember
misdemeanor.
Misdemeanor. And they're like, oh, well, we'll take a plea bargain. You plead guilty, pay us $500, and take these 10 classes. And meanwhile, there's, you know, a guy who's like, you know, beats his girlfriend who's drunk, and they're like, oh yeah, we'll lower this to some other kind of thing for $100. And, you know, and there was an actual victim there.
Mm-hmm.
And just like today, I heard on the radio that between Massachusetts and Connecticut, there was these seven guys were going around robbing catalytic converters, and they were so good at it, they were like a NASCAR pit crew. They could steal a catalytic converter in a minute. So some catalytic converters, like a 2000 9 diesel pickup truck with a DPF and a catalytic converter on it, you know, those things are worth like about $1,800 just to scrap.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are like buzzing them off in a minute.
That's crazy.
And they're like, and they will face up to 10 years in prison. And there's got 461 victims, you know, mm-hmm. all these crimes. And, you know, and then they're going to get 10 years in prison for it. Maybe, you know, that's the maximum they could get. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell? You know, you got the Crypto Six where a bunch of these guys are facing, you know, a lifetime sentence. You got, you know, no victim,
sure.
No injured party. And, and it's like, you know, the real crimes are sort of going unnoticed. But George Soros backed prosecutors, you know, there's an agenda here, and it's to start a culture war.
Totally.
And, destroy America and take it down.
Well, what's happened in, California, and I've heard it may be true in some of the other western border states like Washington and Oregon, but I've not ever confirmed that, but I know it's true in California at least, where there's apparently been a change to where they're just not enforcing, and maybe it's just in some of the cities, but the prosecutors are just not enforcing theft unless it's like grand theft level. Like you have to go above, I think it's several hundred, if not $900.
$900 is the number, yeah. I heard it for Portland.
In theft, in order for them to bother prosecuting you. So what you have as a result of that are these thieving rings that essentially are like big criminal organizations, apparently. We've read stories about this in, you know, recent history. So you've got like a gang who will essentially pay homeless people, people, you know, junkies, people who have absolutely nothing to lose, people who probably wouldn't mind going to jail and getting three square meals a day and a cot to sleep on.
And methadone.
Yeah, right? So they get these homeless people and they say, look, you go into CVS or Whole Foods or whatever, you steal a bunch of shampoo or whatever other items you can just shove in a backpack or a sack, and then you come, you bring them to us, we pay you pennies on the dollar, and then the gang will then resell those items online, for instance.
There's a lot of this stuff showing up on like Facebook Marketplace,
right?
eBay, Etsy.
So they sell the items at lower than what they would retail for, and they make a bunch of money, and the homeless person takes all the risk, and they make a little bit of money. And that's apparently how these things have been working. And so the video that you'll see is just absolutely insane of people just waltzing into CVS or Walgreens or something like that, scooping products off a shelf, shoving them in a bag, and then walking right out the door with absolutely no consequences whatsoever.
And in some of these videos, I as I've listened to the commentary of, like, you know, Luke Radowski, I listen to his show almost daily, and he talks about this stuff. I never watch his show, just listen to it.
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, yeah, the security guard standing right there. He's like, you know, just the guy just walks right by him with a trash bag full of whatever he just cleaned off the shelf.
Yep.
You know.
And that's why they're now starting to lock up more and more items. It's getting to the point where if you just want a tube of toothpaste, you know, $4 tube of toothpaste, you got to go and talk to a clerk.
That's crazy.
To come and open up the, you know, the shelving so you can actually get access to the products.
So that's a super hassle for the customer.
It is.
And it's a super hassle for, you know, the employee.
Big time.
Really slows down production. So from a customer standpoint, you're like, all right, I need to go get my toothpaste from CVS. And then, you know, and then the guy's like, oh, I got to go unlock it. I got to find the key. You know, let's go do this. That makes a huge incentive for that customer just to buy
online.
From Amazon.
Exactly. Exactly. So, like, all the legit customers are going to start doing what you're talking about and just not even bother going into these stores, especially if they can encounter some psycho, some drunken, crazy, drug-addled loser who's just in there stealing stuff and might stab you if he thinks you're getting in the way. You know, you don't have that problem when you're mail ordering from Amazon or whatever. So that's probably one factor as to why Whole Foods Market is closing down at 8th and Market Streets in downtown San Francisco. The story from sfstandard.com, they're going to be closing down at, at the close of business Monday, just a little more than a year after the store opened.
Wow.
According to company officials. Quote, we're closing our Trinity location only for the time being, said a Whole Foods spokesperson in a statement, saying further, if we feel we can ensure the safety of our team members in the store, we will evaluate a reopening of our Trinity location.
So now they got to fire all those people that they just trained, and where are they going to go?
Well, they're going to put them on hold. You're not fired. We may be reopening again.
They're going to pay him the whole time?
No, of course not.
They're fired.
Yeah, it's not like they're getting administrative leave, like a paid administrative leave.
They're done. They got to go find another job.
Well, if I take your hours from 14 a week down to zero, you haven't been fired. You've just been temporarily.
Yeah, I get that. But they're essentially, they're jobless. They're out of luck.
Correct. They're going to have to find new jobs.
Yeah, after all the stuff they went through to get the job and to train for the job and learn everything they need to know about the job and really get into it, and now they don't have a job at all, and that sucks.
But who in San Francisco could even afford to work at a place that's only going to pay you, like, I don't know how much Whole Foods pay. Let's say they're paying $15 an hour. Are they paying that much? I mean,
I bet you it's more in San Francisco. But,
okay, I don't know. I mean, what do you got to make in San Francisco? You know, I think you got to make $100 an hour if you need, to pay rent or whatever.
But it's going to be, it's going to cost them more money to run the store. I mean, already Whole Foods is an expensive place to go shop. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's plenty of people in San Francisco who could afford that, but the statement that they can't keep their team members safe working at this store is really revealing about the situation that they have found themselves in downtown San Francisco, where a City Hall source told the Standard the company cited deteriorating street conditions around drug use and crime near the grocery store as a reason for its closure. Since the start of the pandemic, downtown has suffered a massive loss in foot traffic due to remote work. Many small businesses have shuttered, while examples of extreme poverty, drug use, and mental illness on the street have become more apparent. Fears of a, quote, doom loop, in which a cascade of negative financial impacts compound, have spread across the city, and City Hall officials currently expect a nearly $800 million deficit in San Francisco's budget. I mean, this place is a disaster. And we saw the stories about the small businesses closing during the COVID lockdowns. Because remember, San Francisco was the worst. It was one of the most locked down cities. They were, I believe they were the first to do a total, like, serious lockdown, where people were not allowed out of their house with very few exceptions.
Unless you were Miss Pelosi going to get your hair done.
Sure, yeah. But,
you know, all those cities are like that out there. All those leftist-run cities are, you know, I'm not saying that a right-wing, no, I am. A right-wing-run city would be a lot cleaner. You'd have a lot, they tend to keep their hands out of, you know, out of business. And they just let people run business. When you do that, you have a healthier economy. So right-wingers, for all their religious zealotry and stuff, the economy tends to be slightly better under Republican or conservative administration. But that said, all the cities out west are insane. I was in Southern California recently. L.A. is, it's always been bad, but this was like real bad. I go to Seattle on a somewhat regular basis. Mm-hmm. Every time I go out there, I've never seen that many homeless people. If you want to see homeless people, go to Seattle.
Just all over the place. It's not like one street.
Dude, it's a tent city that runs for miles and miles. You get out of the airport, you get out of SeaTac, the airport, and you drive into downtown Seattle. Every single bridge and underpass is just a tent city. And wow. There's got to be hundreds of thousands of, and they're on every corner, panhandling every corner, and up and down every street, all over downtown, there's like Winnebagos, like old beat up Winnebagos with like AC in the window. So they're like the not quite homeless people, but they're basically essentially homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just then you get down to like the lower class homeless people, and they just got like a blue tarp. And
just living on the street, right out on the main drags.
It's not really on the main drags. Like, if there's grass, you got to remember, Seattle's a very green city. There's a lot of trees and stuff. But if there's a bridge or an underpass, just
rains a lot. So anywhere they can be out of the rain.
Out of the rain.
Yep.
It's literally like one tent 6 inches from the next 4 miles.
Wow.
Never seen anything like it.
Well, and so during COVID, San Francisco was cracking down. Right. And so businesses are closing. Mom and pop businesses that were having a tough time before. Well, we saw it to an extent in other places. It happened a little bit around here. Some businesses closed.
Yep.
Any business that was on the edge, you know, you're barely making enough money to pay the employees and get the power bill paid at the end of the month. You were done.
Done.
Right. And so that meant more business for the mega corporations, which, again, this was a trend we saw in a lot of places, but it was accelerated. It was worse in San Francisco. You combine that with the fact that you've got people who are like, all right, I can work remotely now. There's no reason to stay here, where if you ever looked at like housing prices in San Francisco, the rent is insane if you're going to pay rent. The buying of a house, like you could pay $300,000 if it were available and you could get a shack. I'm not exaggerating, right? Like you can look at the real estate sites. I mean, literal shacks going for $500,000.
Yep. Yeah, there was one I looked at a while ago. It was just, you know, my friend of mine was talking about San Francisco, and I'm like, just, you know, started looking at like some online real estate listings things, and it was like carriage house, $650,000, 1,213 square feet. And basically what it was like on a strip. It had like a little right-of-way strip through another property because it was originally the carriage house
of somebody else's house.
Somebody else's house. Yeah. And like all the videos of all the pictures of the carriage house, like I don't even think you could park like a full-size pickup truck in a driveway. But like all the other houses were like right next to it. Like I don't think you'd have to suck your gut in to walk between the carriage house and the other, you know, and the other house.
$650,000.
Yeah, and the thing was on, you know, whatever, you know, square footage of land, which is like, you know,
nothing.
It was like 2,200 square foot of land and like 1,200 square foot. And then they're like, oh, something about a right-of-way, convenient, compact car parking. And Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Well, you know, what's that they say about socialism? I don't know who said it, but I'm sure I'm just going to be paraphrasing it here. But essentially, you know, you tax people to the extent that they eventually the productive class is going to leave. If they're free to leave, they're going to leave. As long as there's not some sort of fence and barbed wire preventing them from leaving, they're out. So
eventually, Atlas will shrug.
So when a lot of these companies told their staff in San Francisco, yeah, you guys can work remotely, a lot of them just said, great, I'm going to move somewhere else where I don't have to pay $3,000 to $5,000 a month or whatever the hell the rent is out there. I can have the same job that I had before in San Francisco. Now, some of them, I think, did adjust the rates that they were paying people who left eventually. But they don't have to live in a place where they might get stabbed in the streets or, you know, constantly being panhandled or whatever. So you got the productive people are leaving San Francisco. You got mom and pop businesses are closing. You know, those people are leaving, too. Right. You had to close your business.
And they should. I mean, the bottom line is get the heck out of the cities, people.
Yeah.
Get out to the land. Get out to the country. The cities are very, very dangerous.
So who's left?
I prefer that the city people just stayed right
in the city. There. So, but who's left that's going to want to shop at Whole Foods, right? You're losing business owners. You're losing high-class workers from tech companies or whatever. They're moving out. Who's going to go and spend God knows how much for organic strawberries at Whole Foods? It's certainly not a junkie.
Right.
So, you know, that's... They're closing the store, and they're citing the safety of their employees. It's also the economics as well.
I wonder, in that particular Whole Foods, how many people just go in there and just grab a thing of organic strawberries,
just stealing it,
walk around, eat them, go use the bathroom, leave.
Right.
Well, you know, what's anybody going to do to them?
They're not talking about that here, but that's absolutely a factor. Absolutely. Yeah. One idea recently floated to confront the crisis, according to sfstandard.com, is converting vacant downtown office space into thousands of units of student housing. The beleaguered grocery store on Market Street slashed its operating hours due to high theft and hostile visitors in October of last year. Like, all right, well, we're not going to stay open past sundown.
Jesus.
Right? According to their managers, and in November, the store enforced new bathroom rules after syringes and pipes were found in the restroom. The market takes up 64,000 square feet, and the company called the neighborhood location its flagship store in their press release announcing its opening in March of 2022.
So, you know, my wife goes shopping at a Whole Foods once in a while, only for a couple of things, but like, you know, local market basket, she'll go in there and she'll take the two kids, you know, the three-year-old and the 19-month-old into the bathroom, change a diaper, you know, three-year-old potty trained, or, you know, maybe the wife's got to use the bathroom. I don't think we would be returning to a store if, like, we go in there and, you know, my toddler picks up a needle.
A needle, right.
Or even we see one that they can, you know, touch or whatever.
Some junkie stumbles out of the nearby stall and starts harassing your wife. You're not there to say anything about it. There's more coming up here. The number is 603-283-6160. If you want to comment on the closing down of the San Francisco Whole Foods, not just San Francisco, though, there's more coming up. Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare, and the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government. government, or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.